This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Therefore, what do we want to do? We want to rejoice and be glad in it. And I am always glad when I have the opportunity to be with you right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good affiliates and through so very many other platforms. In just a minute or so, I'm going to give you some numbers that you can use to join us live here today, as well as giving you information about our social media opportunities for you too. And I am just hoping that we're busting through with all kinds of calls today. I'm in the mood to talk with you, as I am Monday through Saturday right here. So do pick up the phone and give us a call. Numbers coming at you right now, 833-288-3986. Toll free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. That converts to 833-288-EWTN. Can't get much easier than that. 833-288-EWTN. Social media land, EWTN Radio, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. We're there for you this morning. I'm waving at you out there. So I certainly do hope that you'll use the chat feature there to get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement right up here on my board. We have Rich Jesse sitting in for Jeff Burson today, and he's going to make all of that happen when you get out there to social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. It'll pop up on the screen here. And we've got Ryan Penny behind the phones today. Ryan is there for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Beautiful to have this opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I always like to give you a little update about what's going on in my life, and I am just fresh back from Canada. I was in Ontario. I was right there in the heart of Niagara Falls. As a matter of fact, the conference organizers were so kind to us, who were the speakers, that they put us in rooms in the hotel where we looked right out at Niagara Falls. What a great joy that was for me. I had never seen the falls before, and then to have access to them, you know, when I woke up in the morning first thing and before I went to bed at night. And one of the evenings, there was an international fireworks contest that was taking place right over the falls at 9 p.m. I think it was Friday night. It could have been Saturday. I lose track of time when I'm away. But nonetheless, oh my gracious, it was amazing. I was in the room, I was looking out, and there are the falls rushing as they do. It lights on the falls, and then the sky started to light up with all of these fireworks. It was thrilling. And it was amazing all at the same time. And I was awestruck. And I just kept thinking about the power of God. You know, I was just thinking, you know, this business of these fireworks, this is a man-made reality, right? Just imagine. I mean, they are so magnificent. But just imagine what it's going to be like when we behold God face to face. And we see the one who is beauty, the one who is goodness, the one who is truth. It is going to be soul-blowing, which is why we have to be perfected before we get there to see all of that, because we would just be annihilated by it. And then there were those falls, and I was looking at those falls, and I made reference to those falls in a couple of my talks. And, you know, as I gazed at them and kind of contemplated the power and the might of them, and yesterday Helen and Garrett, who were taking me to another venue to speak to a smaller group of people, were sharing with me about the way in which those, you know, those falls are kind of controlled. The flow of the water in the Niagara River going to those falls is controlled and kind of segmented off in some, you know, marvelous engineering way that goes to the hydro plant, and that creates power. And I was thinking, wow, you know, that's very ingenious of man to be able to do that. We entered into a little conversation about all that. But, you know, behind it all, I was thinking to myself, you know, those falls are so powerful, but the one who is power itself created those falls. They're just a reflection, if you will, of that one who is omnipotence. And, you know, I was saying to myself, you know, this leads us to contemplate, you know, the one whom these falls point to God himself. And if we think that's power, I was thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us and what can happen in this world today if we just open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to receive that power of the Holy Spirit and to move in that power and to let that power move in us. And that was kind of the theme of the event there for the Regenerated Conference that took place at the Scotiabank Convention Center right there in Niagara Falls, Canada. And you know, the bishop was talking about how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And I just, oh my goodness. You know, sometimes I just want to say to the Lord, how can I open myself to you more and more and more? You know, what can I do? I'm trying to surrender to the max. And yet I know I hold on to so much and I really don't even want it. I just want you. I just want you and your power and your might to course through my veins and to lead me wherever you want me to go. And, you know, that's a process, isn't it? But it puts us in mind of the fact that every day God gives us opportunities to surrender to him more and more and more, to relinquish our desire to control, that we might be really just moved by the least breath of the Holy Spirit. As St. Louis de Montfort writes in True Devotion, you know, he says, in the latter days, you know, the children of Mary will be moved by the least breath of the Holy Spirit. I want to be that way. I really do. And maybe you do too. So wonderful thoughts to think about as we begin our time together right here on Catholic Radio on this Monday of Thanksgiving week. I know that so many of you are making preparations and so much is going on. Many of the children are out of school this entire week. And so you've got things that you're planning with your family, and maybe you're planning a trip. But in the midst of it all, what we really want to do is to give glory and praise to the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we really want to do is to give thanksgiving to this God who gives us so much, even in the midst of what looks like, you know, tremendous difficulty and struggle. He is there. He is there, and we have that confident assurance that Sacred Scripture tells us that his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And his sufficiency is infinitude. When God says, you know, my grace is sufficient for you, he is saying the infinitude of the reality of who I am is what my sufficiency is. And that ought to be good enough for all of us. I'm just saying, heavens to Betsy, it ought to be. We're inviting you to give us a call here. We're available to you right here on EWTN Radio. Number to use toll-free in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do want to invite you that who are listening, that were at that conference, if you want to call and share with us what touched you the most throughout the whole event, how God spoke to you in it, I think that'd be just dandy. But I'm here to talk with you about anything you want to talk about today. And, you know, what do you have to be grateful for, right? Wouldn't it be lovely if each day leading up to Thanksgiving, we were just making a little list of those things that we have to be grateful for, and then we shared it with everybody that we were having Thanksgiving dinner with. You know, that's what we ought to do. As Christians, we ought to always be praising and thanking our God because he's always there in our midst and he's always with us. It's just dandy stuff. Will you hear that music? That means we're going to go to our break. Let me give you the numbers again. Toll free here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to encourage you to use the other opportunities we've got for you for communication. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. It's there for you. Chat feature gets you here. Yay! I like that. You can text EWTN to 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. We're going to be right with you on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many great and wonderful affiliates out there. We're inviting you to join us live here today, toll free for you, right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us here. And you can also join us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There is a chat feature there. And you can put your questions, your comments, your insights, your inspirations Atlanta in that little chat feature, and it comes up on the board. Rich Jesse sitting in for Jeff Burson today. Ryan Penny on phones. Be sure to say howdy, hey to Ryan. He'll be sure to pray for you. We all pray for you. I just want you to know that. I certainly do hope that you are praying for us, and hoping that you'll pick up the phone and give us a call like Ann did. Ann has called us from Wall Township, New Jersey this morning. EWTN app is the way. She's with us. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Johnette.
This is my Ann, isn't it?
Hi.
How are you, Ann?
How are you? I'm well. I'm well. I enjoyed your pictures that you're sharing on Facebook from Niagara Falls. They're beautiful.
Oh, did you see me sitting in the arms of the polar bear?
I did.
That's funny.
It was lovely. He was quite big. Yes.
He was very huge. He was like the height of the entire lobby of the hotel there. And
yeah.
I just thought it would be fun to take that picture. Tom Sullivan was up there speaking too. So we took one together. And
right.
did I post the video of the falls? I think I did.
You might have, but I don't know that I watched the video.
Oh, I'll have to check that out in the next break. See if it actually made its way there. Tom is very good at all that stuff. I'm not so hot. And my pictures didn't turn out, but his video turned out great. So I said, oh, send that to me. He was up higher than I was on floor 8. He was on 10. So he had a better view.
Right.
So what's going on with my dear friend, Ann?
Well, I just said to Ryan that, you know my story. You know how much work God has done in my life. And he's brought me through to such great healing. And I am just beyond grateful and so in love with my Savior that, with all he's done for me. And yet, despite that, when the holidays come around, I still get the old feeling, it's the holidays. Oh, I just want the holidays to be over with. You know, I don't really understand it. I don't know, It just happens, and I just know that there's other people out there that kind of dread the holidays the same way I do, and just you're not alone, and, we can just still be thankful to the Lord. He's still with us, and I don't know why it happens, but it does, and that's that.
Well, let me ask you this question, Ann. Can you remember or recall the first time that you began to feel this sense of depression that comes with the holiday season? I mean, how far back does that go?
It comes from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I am aware of that because, there was alcoholism in my family. And so the holidays were, there was a lot more alcohol drinking being done. And, you never just knew what was going to happen. And then it was kind of like expectations. Christmas always brought the idea that there were expectations, something wonderful was going to happen, and yet nothing ever did. Nothing wonderful ever did happen, and so it just kind of now is. Until 9 years ago, when the Lord got a hold of me and started this transformation, I was kind of just I would just party through the holidays. That's how I got through it, and And now that I don't do that anymore, it's just kind of like, okay, one day at a time. And, it starts right before Thanksgiving, and it will last through until January 1st. So, I know I have so much to be grateful for, and I am. And I just, we have I don't get together with my family. Those are issues that have not we haven't been able to work those out. So I kind of stay away from my family. And so it's always just my husband and my one son who's still home. Mm-hmm. And, it's very quiet and it's peaceful and it's not a bad thing. But it's not, the big family celebration and what the TV shows and what the world tells us we're supposed to be doing at the holiday time. So, I just kind of try to keep it quiet, keep it simple, keep Jesus in the forefront of my heart, my mind, and
Well, you know what I think we should do? I have a couple of thoughts that are just coming to me as we're speaking here. First, I'd like to pray with you, if that's okay. You know, I'd like to pray that, you know, through the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into His very image by the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so these realities, you know, and I don't have that sense about those, about the holiday that you do, but I can tell you this, probably about a month before the anniversary date of my son's death, I begin to notice that I'm feeling just down. And it's taken me several years to figure out what it is. And it's something that rises up in the spirit in anticipation of. And there's that, you know, it's a memory. It's a subconscious thing. It just comes up. But, you know, knowing that, then, and truly, I believe that those things in exactly what you're revealing today or you're sharing today, you know, these are illuminations of the heart by the Holy Spirit. He tells us this is what this is rooted in. And so let's go about this process of working through those kinds of things through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the beautiful presence of God's life in us for a transformation to take place there. So I'd like to pray for that. The other thing that I think would be helpful to do, and this may sound a little peculiar, would be to permit yourself to grieve all of those dashed hopes that were yours all through those years of your childhood where you were expecting something wonderful to happen and it didn't. And maybe what happened instead were, you know, awful things and drunken people and words that ought not to have been spoken and all that goes with that kind of a thing. Permit yourself to be able to grieve that, because the little girl in Anne needs room to be able to express that. And then the adult Anne needs to be able to embrace that little girl in her being and say, it's okay. We're good now. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We can make it. So, so with your permission, can we pray?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and I lift up to you your daughter, Anne. And you know all of these emotions that take place within her soul, and they're not bidden, Lord. They just come. They come from deep within our inner beings. And we know that you only permit them to come that we might be made aware of them and invite you into those very, very difficult areas that are locked inside the inner recesses of our heart. We know, Father God, that you want to pitch a tent there and you want to begin this transforming effect by your very presence there. And we want to gaze upon your glory in us, in those very places. And that would be a good thing for you to picture right now, you know, Anne. I mean, I would just, in whatever way, you know, the Holy Spirit permits you to use your imagination, just to look at that area of your heart and let the Holy Spirit give you some kind of a, you know, an impression of it. It might be dark. It could be cave-like. It might, I don't know what it looks like for you. But I want you to see the monstrance of our Lord right there, right in the midst of it. Bid him to come. And then picture him in the most blessed sacrament right there in the midst of that travail and look at him. Just gaze on him right there in the midst of all that's ugly, in the midst of all that's painful, in the midst of all that's depressing. Just picture him right there. And I would suggest to you that you do that consistently through this time of the holidays, because I do believe that God wants to release you of this. I'm really convinced he wants to get rid of these fetters that hold you back. He wants you to enter into the festivities of heaven during this period of time. Not the natural festivities that are always going to disappoint us. Nothing ever turns out quite the way we plan. I think Norman Rockwell was a bit of a sadist in that way. held out this illusion that doesn't exist in anybody's life. You know, we all pine for that.
And Hallmark is... is guilty.
I know. And we heap it all on top of ourselves. But the Lord says, no. I don't want you to enter into the worldly conception of what this time should be. I want you to enter into the eternal reality of what this time is. He wants you to enjoy. Just remember that the festivities of heaven, and just keep looking at him in that dark place. And Father God, as Anne does this, even as we're praying in this moment, I just ask that you would begin to break those chains that bind her to those difficult times. Break the chains that bind her to the spirit of depression that began to take up residence there in those times. Spirit of oppression, Lord God, you know, these things. I'm just asking you, please, to break any ties that might be there that hold her bound to that period of time. Only you can do this. We can't do this. And we would just ask that you would set your daughter free. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's why we want to bring Jesus into those areas, because where Jesus is, the Spirit of the Lord is. Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit gives us freedom and gives us hope. And so, Father, and also to, you know, help your daughter to grieve. Let the little girl in her grieve those times that she was so seriously and severely disappointed. And I'm praying this prayer for Anne specifically, Lord, because she's called in, but also incorporating into it, because you never act on behalf of the one, you act on behalf of the many, incorporating into it all of those who find these times so very difficult, who find these seasons of the year so very, very hard to live through. We're bringing all of them in, and I'm asking the same thing. So if any of this, my dear listener, is resonating in your heart as I'm praying this with Anne, then I beg you to do the same, to envision that area of your heart where the disappointment lies, or the sad memories have taken up residence, you know, and picture Jesus in his holy monstrance. Blessed Sacrament, right there. And keep your eyes fixed on him and see what he does. And this would be a beautiful prayer meditation every day, Anne, at least once a day, maybe more, because I think God has a big Christmas present in mind for you, and it's freedom from all of this. And so it is, Father God, that we pray this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name. Amen. And in advance, we say, glory be to you. Praise be to you, Jesus, for all of the work that you've done and all of the work that you're doing. And glory, hallelujah. Amen. There you go, Anne.
Thank you so much, Janet. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, sweetheart. I love you. I'll hold you in my heart, and I'll be praying, okay? Bye-bye, Anne. So God does not leave us without resources. You know, he does. He gives us the resources we need. So hold on to that. It's 1 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And 1 Corinthians 3:18, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen. Let's go to Marion. Marion is calling us from Burlington, Ontario. She is listening to us via Station of the Cross, and my guess is right there in Buffalo. Hi, Marion. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
I was there at the conference on Saturday.
Oh, I'm so glad you were there. I am so happy you were there.
And I just wanted to make a comment. We were really impressed with your talks. It was very, very good. Excellent. But I just wanted to tell you, like, your love for our Blessed Mother was so, so great. And when you went down on your knees, when the word was made flesh, when you said those words, you went down on your knees. And that impressed me so much. I just want to tell you thank you on behalf of our Immaculate Mother.
Oh, Mary.
That's it.
Well, thank you, my darling, for coming. And I just want to tell you, you know, our Lord can never be outdone in generosity. So we give him a day. And when we give him that day, my goodness, he just comes in abundance with graces. And that day was filled with graces. Saturday was an amazing day. The talks were excellent. Dr. Sri, Tom Sullivan, the bishop, all of the words that we heard from Father Paul McDonald, you know, at the beginning of the day, all of these things were just, I think, orchestrated by God for that this moment in time. And thank you for giving your fiat and being there, dear. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Thank you, Mary, and God bless you too. Yeah, it's beautiful, you know, when we consider the way in which God uses the smallest little things that we give to Him. He does the greatest things through. And I'm so grateful for Catholic Radio. I do want to thank all of those people there at Station of the Cross in Buffalo, and you know, all of our affiliates out there who do so much to bring the Word of God to people. Most of the people in that area where we were in Ontario pick up the Station of the Cross that comes through Buffalo. And, you know, they talked to me continuously about what Catholic Radio has done in their lives. I even had a lady that shared with me that she'll be listening to the show, and then she'll get to a certain point. She says she's been at a red light, and she'll hear it all the way up until she has to stop for the red light, and then the signal goes dead. She's put the car in reverse to back up at the red light so she can pick the signal up again. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, that's an amazing thing. And it shows how important it is for us to use the airwaves to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I just really want to encourage you, support your affiliate, right? Support your affiliate. The word of God goes out, and it never returns to the Father void. It returns with an abundance of souls. And that's casting the net broadly through the airwaves. And we're so grateful. Marian, God bless you, darling, and have a holy day in the Lord, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep up your love for Mother Mary.
Thank you. Well, how could you not love her? Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Our Blessed Mother, she's just amazing. Jesus thinks she's amazing, so it's okay for us to think that she's amazing, too. We want to invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America and you want to give us a call, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. So happy to hear from you today. You can also get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Rich Jesse is there filling in for Jeff Burson today. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to get your questions right up here for me, as is Ryan Penny, who is on the phone lines. Let's go to Heather. She's out there in Tucson, Arizona. She's with us via YouTube, and all I'm going to say is hello to you, Heather, for the moment, because I hear that music coming up. So I'm going to ask you to stay there. You're on the air. We're going to come right back to you on the other side of this break, inviting all of you to be here with Heather. And there go the phone lines. Yay, you make me so happy. I do want to remind you to get out there to EWTN's The Religious Catalog, all kinds of good resources there. Christmas is coming. Why not give your loved ones the gift of faith? You can do that right there at EWTNRC.com. And stop by our website too, www.womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of events coming up. Certainly hoping we're going to see you at one of those. Well, here we go. Off to the break. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. Very happy to be with you on this Monday of Thanksgiving week, inviting you to give us a call right here. Let me give you the numbers, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Please do pick up the phone, give us a call, or get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can communicate with us that way as well. All righty, so we have Heather on the line with us. She is in Tucson, Arizona this morning. She's with us via EWTN YouTube channel. How are you doing, Heather?
Hello, Janet. I'm okay. I'm blessed to be on your show. This is the first time I'm watching. I'm in the middle of grieving my grandmother's death.
Okay.
She passed away a couple months ago. And the Lord's been moving on my heart a lot to really try to understand my Catholic faith more and to participate in ways that I never fully did, even though I was confirmed and sometimes go to Mass. But I'm having these experiences where I feel like my grandma is near me and I can hear, like, her voice. And I don't know if that's just her memory echoing in my heart and mind, or if she's really like trying to communicate with me, or is she in purgatory? What is purgatory? And like, is she in heaven with Jesus? Do I need to be praying for her soul, or isn't she in glory already? I guess I never really learned what I should have learned in catechism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Heather, the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith is that we can understand it in the way that children understand things. And then as we grow older and we look at these doctrines of the church and we look at the teachings of the church, we can comprehend them more fully. And in most cases, they are real mysteries that we enter into, you know, where we never get to the bottom of them, quite frankly, but we get, I think, different, what's the word that I want to use? Different, perspectives of them as we grow older. And so I think it's beautiful. I think this is one of the gifts that your grandmother's death is offering you, this opportunity to dig a little bit more deeply into your faith so that you understand these things at a deeper level, you know, now as an adult, as opposed to a child. And so, you know, as for your grandma and where she is, we don't know. We have a tendency today in our day and time to canonize people as soon as they die. Well, they were such a good person, and we just send them straight off to heaven in our thinking. But the fact of the matter is, even some of the great saints did a flyby over purgatory. Maybe they didn't land there for very long, but there was still something maybe that needed to be resolved before they entered into the beatific vision. And so what Holy Mother Church teaches us, and this comes from sacred scripture, and it's been the constant container of teaching, the chain of teaching that goes all the way back to the first days of the church, is that God in his mercy determines that when we die in a state of grace, meaning not mortal sin, that even if we're not completely healed of all that needs to be healed within us, even if every sin has not been repented of, even if all of the temporal punishment for the sin has not been mitigated, that God nonetheless works towards that end in a place called purgatory. And we cannot merit grace for ourselves in purgatory, but we can, through the prayers of others, receive grace in purgatory. And that's what, you know, allows this healing process to happen. So individuals will end up in purgatory, as I say, if there's still a wound on the soul that's not been completely resolved, that needs to be healed completely. People will end up in purgatory if they die with venial sin, right? And God himself knows, you know, where that soul is. We do not. And of course, the soul knows as well, too. So that's why we continue to pray for our loved ones. And to pray for our deceased loved ones is a spiritual work of mercy. And we should do that. So I would suggest that you continue to pray for your grandmother. Pray for the repose of her soul. You know, never stop praying for that, because if your grandma no longer is in need of that prayer, then God in his mercy once again will dispense that prayer for the good of another soul that's in purgatory. So I would suggest that. Do you hear your grandmother in your heart? You know, this connection to the through the communion of saints is a very real one. And St. John the 23rd tells us that our loved ones are not separated from us, but only invisible to us, meaning that our loved ones still are effective in our lives in a certain way, even though they're gone. And in the communion of saints, you know, we have the church triumphant, the saints in heaven, the church suffering, the souls in purgatory, and the church militant. That would be us on earth, still making our pilgrim way toward heaven. And so there is just as we ask for the intercession of the great saints in heaven, and there's a way through which they are able to hear those prayers. I don't know how that works. I don't. But nonetheless, in faith, we know it does. And they can pray for us, and we see the results of those prayers in our life. So too can there be a type of communication with the souls in purgatory, in that there can be impressions that are made upon our soul that lets us know that we need to pray. And occasionally, it may seem as though we hear their voice. Now, with this, we can get into serious trouble. Because we can become overly curious And we know that the devil likes to mimic the gifts of the church, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He likes to imitate them in a negative way. And he desires to use them for our perdition. He desires to use them to lead us into a type of bondage, to lead us into sin, to lead us away from God. And so we would say that a counterfeit of this great reality and mystery of the holy souls in purgatory, the counterfeit of that would be the attempt to communicate with those souls through nefarious ways, such as through seances, through occult kinds of actions. And that is absolutely forbidden by sacred scripture. And what will happen in those cases is that individuals will think that they're contacting their loved one, but they're not. They're contacting a demon. And there's question even if those impressions are made on our heart by a deceased loved one, if it's really the loved one or if it's the angel of the loved one. We don't know. We don't have the answers to all of this. We'll understand more deeply when we're there. But what would be bad would be if you started to seek after hearing the voice of your grandmother, or if you tried in some way to contact her. This would be reprehensible. It would be a grave sin. And so if any of you listening out there have done these things, I just would encourage you to get yourself to the sacrament of confession as quickly as you can. If you did it in pure ignorance, there's no sin, because you have to know that something's a sin in order for you to commit a sin, and you've got to give free will consent to committing that sin for something to be a sin. But nonetheless, the evil one doesn't play fair. So it may well be that even though you didn't know it was a sin, that the ill effects of such a thing could still be clinging to you. And if you go to the sacrament and you renounce it and you reject it and you repent of it, then, you know, God can take care of it for you. So the good news in this, Heather, is that your grandmother, I think, through the very fact that she's passed on into eternal life, your grandmother is still your grandmother, and she still has your best interests at heart. And it may well be that all of this interiorly is working towards helping you to dig deeply into your faith, to come into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to ask our Blessed Lady to help you to enter into these mysteries of her son's life that you might understand them more, and asking the Holy Spirit to take you into the mysteries of the faith so that, you know, you can be more open and receptive to what he wants to do with you and in you through them. I always pray before I receive the Blessed Sacrament, you know, the Eucharist at Mass, you know, Father, please take me more deeply into these mysteries, and may these mysteries enter more deeply into me. And this is what God wants to do. This is the kind of work he wants to effect. So your grandmother's death is providing you with a great gift. And that gift is a deeper desire to know more about your faith. As for grieving, grieving has its season. And we allow ourselves to grieve, as I was telling Anne. Give yourself permission to grieve. We grieve the passing of loved ones. We grieve the disappointment of dashed hopes. We grieve the unhappy memories of our lives. We grieve a loss of innocence. We can grieve all of these things, but we grieve them as people who have hope, knowing that God wants to meet us there, and he wants to lead us forth from that grieving into the jubilance of life in him. And it says in sacred scripture, you know, that our tears will be turned into joy. And we want that. God brings joy. Even in the midst of great suffering, he brings joy. Does that help you, honey?
It does. And it brings up a question.
Okay.
Like, I was going through pictures and looking at all these memories, and mm-hmm. and I held it to my heart and told my grandma I missed her and I loved her. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about, me trying to communicate with her?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's fine. That's fine to tell your loved ones that you miss them, to talk with them like that. That's fine. I'm talking about going into some kind of trance-like state or seeking a psychic. I'm talking about those kinds of things, the conjuring up of a spirit.
Okay.
No, that's beautiful to do. And that will help you in your grieving process. You know, it will help you. And I'm quite certain that your guardian angel is going to your grandmother's guardian angel and communicating that message Heather just said that she loves you so much. And, you know, that I would have to be a sweet balm, I think, upon a soul that's working out the rest of salvation there in purgatory. Anything else?
May I ask for you to pray for me about something, please?
Sure, absolutely. And so, Father God, Heather and I come before your holy throne. And we come in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. And Heather has asked for prayer for a special intention. Father, you know what that special intention is. And I would ask you to meet the need of that intention, Lord, to meet the need, to meet the deepest need in Heather's heart. And if it's tied up in this intention, I pray that you answer it. I pray that you make haste to help her. And I pray that in the helping, she discovers your providential love for her. She discovers your deep desire for her to know your presence with her. And I pray that she begins to experience the warmth that comes from your paternal gaze. And I ask, Lord, that her faith would be increased, that her trust would be increased, that her ability to surrender to you in all things would be increased. We ask that you would take our will and conform it more nearly to yours, so that wherever we are, people see you and they come into relationship with you as a result of us carrying you with us and us being carried by you in your most providential, beautiful, and fatherly arms. And so it is that we do ask this prayer to be met in the time that you know it ought to be met in. And if this prayer is not going to work to Heather's good, then we relinquish it to you. And we just say, fiat voluntas tua, thy will be done. We pray this prayer, as I said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Thank you, Heather, for your call today, sweetheart. God bless you, too, and we're here for you, okay? Bye-bye. Let's go to Erica. I think we've got Sarah up next. I apologize, Erica, you're next. Sarah, Buffalo, New York, Station of the Cross is the way she's with us. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Well, Jeanette, I'm calling you because, I have to specify first. My name is not really Sarah. I'm just calling you because I'm very embarrassed and I use a fake name.
Okay.
But I am kind of overwhelmed in my life. I am very blessed, have a great life, but I am an old mom. I have a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old, and for some reason, I just have a lot of anger lately, and I don't know how to deal with that anger, and often I become this loud person that I don't want to be, and I was just calling to see if you had any suggestions. I just don't know what else to do.
Oh, Sarah. All right, honey. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. You say you're an old mom. Do you mean chronologically old to have young children like this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are these? Do you have older children?
No, I've adopted both these children.
Okay.
From birth, and I've had them both from birth.
Okay. And are these children that have come to you? These children have they come under complex circumstances?
No, it's because I could give up on not finding a prince. I could never give up on being somebody's mother.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I just meant basically what I was referring to, but and I didn't make it clear, apparently. Did the children have difficulties, struggles? Have they come from, have they been abandoned? Or are they babies that were born, through the use of substances?
They both were born of mothers with substances, but they both are healthy. God has really blessed them and me. They have no health issues. They are a miracle.
Well, praise be to God for that. And praise be to God for you, whose generosity of heart and desire to be mother is so great that you would take these two children and make them your own. Sarah, that's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable, and I thank you for that. We all get worn out. And we all get tired and we all get to the end of our rope. And there are times when, unfortunately, when we get to that place, we speak in words that we wish we wouldn't speak, and we speak in tones of voices that we wish we wouldn't speak, and we just get very frustrated. Our emotions get over top of us. And so the first thing that I want to suggest to you, you know, is that you seek some respite, that you seek some help, that you allow yourself to be human and to realize that sometimes you just get plain worn out and you need some time. And I don't know what your life is like. I don't know if you work as well. I don't have any of that knowledge. But what I do know is that everybody needs to get away for a little bit, even if it's just for a couple of hours. And I was reminded of that this morning because I'm very tired right now. And I was thinking about our Lord. And where did he go off? He would go off to a desert place, wouldn't he? He would go off to a desert place and he would pray. He would get away from the crowds, right? And he would get in that boat and go off. And it was important because he was fully human and fully divine, you know, true God, true man. And in his humanity, he would be exhausted. And so when we get exhausted and at the end of our rope, we sometimes act in ways that are inappropriate. So what is the goal? The goal here is to get on top of that, not to let the emotions get on top of us. And so plan, look at your schedule, you know, plan a time for Sarah, even if it's just for a couple of hours, get some exercise in, breathe deeply, allow yourself to walk through the park. I don't care what you do, but just give yourself permission. And hopefully you have friends that will help you with that, you know, just as you would be willing to help them. So that's my first suggestion. Second thing is the anger issues that you have. Now, are these anger issues long-standing in your life? Have you always been quick-tempered and, you know, maybe allowed anger to seethe within you? Or is this something that comes from what I've just described?
No, I don't know what's causing it. I've never been. I've always been a laid back kind of nice person. I don't know why, but, you know, I just can't relax and let go. I just let go and let God. I just don't know why it's happening to me. The simplest things make me angry when it's really no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just sounds to me like you're tired. I mean, it just sounds to me like you just need some downtime. And I would take that downtime, and I would take all of this to prayer too, which I'm sure you're doing. I mean, it's obvious to me that you want to no longer act in anger, that you don't want anger to control you. And so I would ask the Holy Spirit to begin to show you what the triggers are, you know. Oftentimes when we're overreacting to situations, it's not because of that situation. It's because of something that's underneath that situation. And that situation is sort of like the last straw. And so then we just over-emote with regard to it. So I would ask the Holy Spirit, you know, because God, you know, he wants to bring good out of this and he wants to bring healing out of this. I would ask him, what is at the base of this? You know, please show it to me. Please help me to understand. And in the meantime, I give you my anger. All I can give you right now is the fact that I am really angry, Lord. All I've got to give you right now in this present moment is my anger. But I give it to you and I ask you to take it. I ask you to come and imbue it with your divine light. I ask you to come and put patience in place of it, perseverance, whatever it is that you think that you need. And just keep doing that. But if you can find what sets off the anger, I think then you're going to be able to better cope. It's, you know, it's hard raising children. It's hard to raise children when you have your spouse to help you raise them, much less raising them on your own. And we as women tend to take everything to the max before we consider what our need is. It's just part of the feminine dimension. It's part of our gift of giving that comes packaged in our DNA. And sometimes we have to say, wait, it's perfectly all right for me to take care of me for the next hour or two, because otherwise I'm depleted and have nothing to give back to anybody else. So why not look at that? See what you can do over the next couple of days and then build it into your schedule. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, baby.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. And the same to you. And one other thing, don't beat yourself up with guilt. Don't let the evil one make these things seem worse than they really are, all right? He will do that. He will try to take advantage of us. Now, I'm not saying that we allow these tendencies to run herd over us, but by the same token, we don't want to give him any power. We just don't want to give him any power whatsoever. So thanks for your call today, honey. And I'm going to try very quickly to get to Erica in Roanoke Park, California. She's with us on YouTube. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
So I was calling. This is my second time actually calling. And I was calling because my mom had an aunt who passed away a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she did bad things. She did, like, witchcraft, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And she dreams her, and she doesn't know exactly what she should do, if she should pray for her.
She should, and she should not allow herself to be overly concerned about it, and she shouldn't do anything to excite that kind of, situation that's going on with the dreaming. But I think that the thing for her to do is to have a mass celebrated for her. For the repose of her soul, have a mass celebrated, maybe even a novena of masses, one a month for 9 months. And that would be my best suggestion, okay? And friends, here we are, right down to the wire. It's been great being with you today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us continue to rejoice in it. Bye-bye now.